He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
And again, I'm doing it solo because my co-host, Jay DeMarkin, is in Belgium studying the European car market, I hope. So we'll have another week without him. And I've got a couple of things that to talk about. First is a apparent recall, which I have not read online yet, although I'm sure it's out with General Motors. They're trying to recall, I think it's 638,000 vehicles of a variety of models. I don't have a list. I don't even have the age group because what I read was such a small blip of information that it didn't give the details, which I'm sure are online somewhere, but I didn't have time to do it for this show.
Was it a headline?
No, it was not a headline. It was in a little sort of a place where they put a list of little short subjects.
People who know where to look?
No, it's in one of my automotive rag sheets of industry trade
but
paper.
But the point is, if you are industry-oriented, then you will know.
But
otherwise,
the public isn't going to hear about it yet, or at least not where I was reading it.
Yeah.
So it has to do with wheel sensors. And wheel sensors are related to anti-lock braking systems, and they've been getting more technically sophisticated because you now have systems that are designed to react in advance of or as soon as possible when a detection is made about something going on in front of the car, such as maybe a pedestrian crossing the road or whatnot. So the sensors have a lot of purposes within the tires or the wheels of the car, from detecting when one wheel slips and the others are gripping, which would have to do with snowy conditions or traction conditions and would cause something to go on in the electronics, the computer-driven electronics of cars, to take away the slippage of that particular wheel. And or it might also have to do with braking, detect when the wheels are about to lose their grip and cause an anti-lock braking system to go into a ratchet type of noise, as it wanted to keep the wheels turning so that the car would not go into a sliding skid with the wheels locked up and be uncontrollable in steering. So the General Motors recall has to do with something to do with the braking situation, because they're going to have to check sensors in a batch of, if not all of, the 630-plus thousand vehicles that were in this little blip to see what might be causing the braking systems to go on without provocative situations.
Yeah, but hasn't there been something in the last couple of weeks? There has been something. I don't know which
Nissan
company.
We talked about it.
Right.
The Rogue.
Okay.
Mainly, Nissan's got a real problem potentially with some years of the Rogue,
just
where
people's stopping
spontaneously without any provocation by the driver and or something in front of the car to
so
cause that
could
to happen.
This could be similar.
That's what brought me up. It could be a similar situation. The next thing will be, are the braking systems or the whatever systems are possibly going off in the General Motors vehicles made by the same manufacturer that are being used in Nissan Rogues? And we have similarities to this situation, to the airbag situation with Takata airbags being used by multiple manufacturers for decades. And therefore, millions of airbags are still not all recalled and therefore still continuing to be recalled if they were Takata-based. And even some of the replacement airbags from Takata are being recalled. So this is the next recall that will be eventually communicated to by a probably postcard or a not certified letter, but a letter from the manufacturer saying, please contact your dealer, your car may be.
Which people will technically tend to pay no attention to.
Well,
it's just unfortunate.
That's a point of this. So, people, if you're driving a General Motors car, you may have a recall notice coming your way.
Right.
Now, there are some other things going on. We've heard a lot about sales. We talk a lot about sales on this program. We talk about the theories of buying year-old vehicles that are still brand new on lots versus going out to buy the newest model. And we are ending the 2019 model year. And the article that I have in front of me says the 2018s are still not totally sold out on some areas of the country and on some dealer lots. And we are going to the 2020 model year. So those 2018 cars, which As of before October 1st, we're officially 1 year old. I think October is still is some reason or other. October is 1st is some official date in the auto industry where the current year cars become last year's cars, and so we're in November.
Can you get better? Can you get better prices on that? Do you believe?
Theoretically, you can if you know what you're doing.
Right.
I had this situation, which I have periodically over 10 years or so doing this show, reported about buying my Hyundai 13 Sonata, and I went shopping at multiple dealers for this Hyundai hybrid vehicle that I was looking at, and they all had different colors and this and that, but I went to one dealership that tried to sell me a 2018 hybrid, but a 2012 model when I was looking for a 13, and we were well into the model 13 year. And there was no bargain offered with the salesperson trying to give me a deal on it. I went through the process of trying to get an estimate of trade-in on this car, a Toyota Camry maybe it was or something, or maybe my old Hyundai Sonata. And he gave me some kind of line of $1,000 or $2,000 off the sticker of the Sonata that was a year old. And I said I would think about it, and I walked away, and the dealership called me a couple of weeks later and wanted to know how I was doing about thinking about their offer. And I said, quite frankly, I'd bought another one somewhere else for the same absolute vehicle for. And the guy said, let me tell you, $8,000 off. And I said, yep. I said, I never got anywhere near that on your guy. He was trying to sell me a year-old car off the sticker price and blah, blah, blah. And that was the last I heard of from him. And I haven't gone back to buy a car from that dealership since. I know they're there to sell cars and make profits. The problem is I know what I'm doing about that situation, and the salesperson was not necessarily aware of my knowledge base, but didn't really try to. He was doing his job for the dealership to make a maximum profit for and probably for himself, and that was fine for him, but I knew what was going on.
And the thing is,
probably did buy that car for thousands more than they would have had to pay unless they'd found a more aggressive dealership with the same car.
But there is something to be said for being educated about what you are looking
there
for.
There is. And so the headline on this thing about 18, dealers struggle to move 2019 models after only recently selling of 2018s. Now, this is they interview for these articles specific dealers, and so you can find a dealer that has sold all their year-old models by the time. And to that end, I stopped in at a Jeep dealership coming down in New Milford this weekend and looked at my favorite line of vehicles, which are the Cherokees, because I happen to love them and I own two of them, and I think they're fabulous vehicles.
No.
And he had no 2019s on his lot. They're all 2020s, only three. And so he's had a very successful year clearing out the 2019 Jeep Cherokees.
You know, we need to send you on the road.
You do? Where? Where do you want to send me?
I'm not sure because, so what I understand from that is right here on this particular corridor, it's a basically people want that car. I would love
from this era, yes.
Yes. And so I'd just love to know, does the same hold true in pick a place, any place? So I can't answer where.
Okay, pick a place. Let's go down Route 22 to our General Motors dealership during the GM strike. And we've commented in the last several weeks about this dealership having ample numbers of pickup trucks and other GM vehicles sitting on the lots. Probably most of them were 2019s. And while I suspect the inventory went down over the 6-plus weeks of the General Motors strike, I think it was 6-plus weeks.
Yeah, you weren't able to.
And I didn't do a count. I just observed. There were still plenty left over. So that dealership, who was probably 10 times as big as this little Jeep dealership in the New Milford area, stocks acres of cars on their 5 acres or so guesstimated size of their lot around the building. And so they're paying for those each month. Floor planning, but they probably moved a number of vehicles, but the new ones haven't started flowing in yet because General Motors just started up its from the strike. So,
and just in terms of size comparison, that's absolutely nothing compared to those, let's call them auto malls in the Bronx as you go down there.
Yeah.
So
true. That's true. You go to an urban area and the dealerships are mega dealerships, and they've got, if they don't have them on their urban located dealership. They've got others, numerous ones, stored probably within 3 miles away out in some field in the suburbs of New York, because they have to find some place to stock those cars, to store those cars, which they've ordered months in advance, and they come flowing in every, if not every day, which they say new cars arriving daily at some dealerships, every week, and they have to move them. But contrary to this dealership in New Milford, the Jeep dealership in our nearby town of Tarrington, which is much larger and is also a General Motors dealership, also has a more ample supply of Jeep Cherokees. Only two of the eight I looked at were 2020s, so the rest were 2019s. And the prices, the sticker prices are basically about the same, although there's probably been a price increase of some sort on the 20s, because options are going up somewhere in the neighborhood, in some cases, $50 to $100 over the year before. And but you theoretically could go and look at the eight Jeep Cherokees in the Tarrington dealership, and theoretically, if you know what you're doing, get a better deal on the remaining 2019s as opposed to the 2020s, because of incentives that the manufacturer will be giving the dealerships to get rid of the old inventory so they can order more new inventory and keep the assembly lines humming.
So who buys, just out of curiosity, because these dealerships, who goes to New Milford versus, and does someone who goes to New Milford drive to Tarrington to go, or
well,
some,
all
they
these
pull
dealerships
from different
have internet websites now, okay? And as did I when I located my $8,000 off 2013 Sonata, which I bought in 15. And they always have internet specials. But it may not be the model or the color or the options list that you want, but that leads you to go look at those dealerships. And they have these so-called alluring prices on some of their cars, and they may have it on a pickup truck, they may have it on a sedan or whatever.
So it's marketing.
And so it's marketing.
Okay.
And if you're website savvy the way everybody who buys real estate is, and many people who buy cars are, that's the way the dealerships are going to find you coming into their lots, more so than somebody in New Milford driving all the way to Tarrington just because they, not necessarily with the idea of buying a car out of town, but, you know, it saves them time and money. Also, the dealership, I know both dealerships fairly well, and I know they do have aggressive internet sites or websites to lure you down. They all are somewhat beholden to what the manufacturers are offering to give them back on vehicles that they sell to get them off their lot so that they'll buy more new cars from the assembly lines that are humming away no matter whether the cars are selling or not. And so, anyways, we're now going to the 2020 model year. 2020 models of vehicles are rolling into the dealer's lots, and some dealers have a supply of leftover vehicles in those same lines that the 20s are showing up on, and some don't yet. Or don't have any leftovers left over because they didn't have a bigger inventory of those vehicles anyways, because they're a different size dealers than the big boys like the Urban dealerships and the General Motors dealership on 22, for example. Okay?
Okay.
So we've covered that. I want to bring up Ford. I have not bought a Ford in some time, a Ford vehicle of any type. I have had a number of friends of mine get Ford, I think they're Edges. Well, they're not Edges. They're the Escapes. And it's a small, compact SUV type of vehicle in all-wheel drive form. Most of them are. I think maybe all of them are. I had a friend of mine who bought one. I said, how do you like your car? And this woman, who's a woman, said, I like it, but I can't deal with some of the newfangled electronics. And I said, well, what is one of the problems you have? And this woman said, it's my radio. I don't know. I can't get preset stations on my radio. And I said, well, let me go look at it. Well, other than the fact that I showed her how to get the preset stations and set preset stations on the radio, I happened to do it in the FM range on the AM. I have finally found a manufacturer, at least in this particular line of cars, that happens to have a good AM radio in it. AM radios on all my cars are pretty crappy. They don't get, I can get our station nicely around Sharon area. I can't get the formerly, I thought, strong AM stations like WTIC in Hartford,
They bomb in.
Well, you can't get them. You get static.
Right. And I have always wondered about that. Now, this
let me finish, because I complained about my Jeep AM radios, which are lousy. My Hyundai AM radio reception is lousy. And let's see, do I have any vehicles that have good AM reception? I don't think so. And this Ford AM radio was like the old AM radios of yesteryear and last century, where you used to be able to get AM stations. I went up and down the AM dial. I got WTIC. I got WDRC in Hartford, clear as a bell, no static. And this is, the car was parked, but it was the same place I was parked. And I got back in my Sonata of the day, and I couldn't get any of them. So, hallelujah, Ford. But anybody who wants a good AM radio may need to buy a Ford to get it, because you're not going to get it in many of the other vehicles around. And if you you're in an urban dealership and turn on an AM radio, you'll get good reception. But if you're up here in the Northwest Connecticut corner broadcast area and hinterlands of any other urban area that are far away from the major radio stations, many cars are not going to give you the option of being able to get your AM stations where there are lots of sports, lots of talk shows, and people are dedicated to one of them.
It has everything to do with antennas, and this is not my department. This is Marshall's department. Okay. And the only reason that I'm mentioning it is because I would mess it up in a way that he wouldn't. But I suspect that it has something to do with electronics versus antennas.
Well, it would be nice if the manufacturer would get their act together on this and put a good antenna in if it is. And I'm not sure. I think Marshall may well be right, because a friend of mine has a Cherokee, and he has – I have yet to try it on mine – he increased the reception capability of his AM on his Jeep Cherokee by getting a piece of, I think, copper wire. And it may have been coated up, except end-to-end, and he actually wrapped it around his roof-mounted stem antenna, and he says his AM reception is better. I'm going to try it in mine eventually, but I haven't done it yet. I'm not necessarily a big AM station man, but there are times when you want to get sports and you can't get it on the FM stations. And you can if you've got satellite radio, but many people don't subscribe to satellite radio after the freebie subscription runs out, because it adds anywhere from $12 a month to $16 a month to whatever other subscriptions you're paying for. And every dollar counts when you've got so many subscriptions that you are still trying to make your savings or checking account have a surplus of money at the end of each month.
Quite right.
Enough on that one. So good for Ford, at least in the Escapes that the Escape I was sitting in. And I think I have no reason to believe that the other Escapes don't have the same radio system in it. I think we might start something in this show. You can read the headline of this book.
What the experts may not tell you about ... in this instance, car repair.
Yeah, and I just found this book in my house. I've had it for 10 years and I've never read it.
Only 10?
But I probably had longer. But in any event, we might start along with or in place of, when we get through with the safety minutes at the end, do a question a week and with a little commentary from myself, and then when Jay's back, fine. But we'll talk about some of the things that come up with owners that don't particularly know a lot about their cars. And here's some of the topics we'll probably cover. I'm not satisfied with the repair of my car. Do I give the mechanic a second chance, and should I be expected to pay? That's one of the topics we'll cover in a future show. I'll go down a few more for the listeners who might perk up at being interested in listening to this show, because this might be it's interesting to me. Should I use the dealership where I bought my car as my mechanic? I'm good on that one. After I paid for my repair and drove away, I noticed I still had the problem. How do I know the repair I asked for was really ever done? Should I demand a test drive before I pay for a repair? These are thoughtful things.
What year was that book written?
The
book itself.
Yeah.
I don't care when you got it.
The printing. Let me just see. First printing was in 2004.
All right.
But it's as relevant today.
No question.
As it was back then when it was written. So just a few more to sort of wind up this show, because we're coming to the end of it. But so listeners, here we go. If I leave my car keys with a mechanic or a tow truck, How can I avoid the risk of having my car keys duplicated? I don't know whether I gotta worry about that, but anyways. Another one. I suspect the mechanic used recycled oil and antifreeze and sold it to me as premium grade. Can I prove it? I don't know. Some of these questions are a little bit stretched a little bit far.
Well, some of these
sufficient.
Are more extreme.
Off, they may not be manufacturers' mechanic places. Who knows? Is it a good idea to make friends with my repair shop manager, or is it better to keep it strictly business? Should you bake your repair guy an apple pie and give it to him, thinking you're going to get better?
Now, just so you know, some publicists, I do too. And I have to tell you that going many, many years back, it was Mark and Rhonda. Mark was the one who figured out why I kept – he said, you know, you've had 7 flat tires. You know, think might be something wrong here? And he crawled under the car and he said, you know, your trailing arm is bent. And that's helpful.
Yeah, that's helpful. Exactly. I know nothing about cars except how to turn the key, Jill. How can I be of help to my mechanic in pinpointing a problem with my car? This is a good topic to discuss because
this goes to the squeaks and rattles situation. You give a good example and you get a good
mechanic. Another one is, I think I smell gasoline. Is my car safe to drive or should I get my car towed to a repair shop? Well, these are just a few of the questions. This book, as you just read, What the Experts May Not Tell You About Car Repair, might be full of interesting topics for this show as we go forward.
And
we will go forward with it at some point.
We'll wait till Jay is back so that you guys can fight about
it. Jay will have a good time with that one too, okay? Let me see what else I got here. Infiniti. There's a new product wave on the radar of auto manufacturers having to do with EVs, which are electric vehicles, and maybe hybrids, relying on both battery-powered models and vehicles using something called the Nissan e-Power dual motor drive, which is, I believe, yet to appear in any current Nissan vehicles, but is certainly on their radar. And what their Infiniti, which is a Nissan product, and Infiniti is a luxury brand of Nissan automobiles, is apparently going to be offering consumers to attempt to get consumers to look at Infiniti products. But they've got an electrification plan, which I said, which is going to be something to do with they're going to have a battery charging engine under the hood that'll have you running on electric power, but it'll be based on, I believe, generation-produced electricity as opposed to relying solely on batteries. The Chevy Volt was running on that way for a while, the early Volts. And the Volts are now out of production, so you cannot you can buy leftover Volts if you can find them at Chevy dealerships or trade-ins on other ones. But there's no way to buy a new Chevrolet Volt, which I found was a very nice car. I found it was cramped inside when I drove it compared to my Hyundai Sonata. but I know people that never drove far enough on their electric range of their Volts to have to put gas in for up to a month or so. And the only advice given to people who were like that was to eventually go on a trip long enough so that you would use up gasoline to enough gasoline to put fresh gas in the tank. But there's one local resident around here that just basically went from job site to job site. And he never drove more than 30 or 40 miles a day, and he never had to have his Volt electric gasoline motor / charger and support drive system for the car to operate. So he said, I can go a whole month or more. I can keep going without ever having to use the gas in my Volt, which is designed to run a gasoline motor when the batteries run out of their range. And or charge the batteries, and I only had a 7.5-gallon gas tank in the car because it was so range worthy. Anyways, but this Infiniti, I'm going to follow this and bring more information about it if it looks like it's good. But we'll see whether the new ideas coming from some manufacturers to make their electric vehicles more range-worthy, which is the big issue with sole electric vehicles right now. Most of them won't go over 360 miles, even with the biggest batteries. And it does give people pause to buy an electric vehicle, even though more and more of them are showing up around here.
He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.